Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
And one last time, hello and welcome. This is not L. Martin. Zachary Swasicki joining you again one last time on the pre-Thanksgiving show of WKAR's Current Sports. Alec Rio behind the glass. And Alec, I think we might be, I know Joe Dandridge back there as well as another WKR production assistant. I think we might be the only four people left in East Lansing.
We might be. It's a ghost town. Like, when I was driving to the Comrade Side building, and there was not a soul walking.
Not a soul walking. And again, it's depressing when you look outside. You just see gray. Just gray everywhere. And it's freezing cold. It's windy. Al Martin down in Miami enjoying the warm sun rays that the Sunshine State has to offer. But again, this will be the last show that we'll have this week, and then Al Martin will be back next Monday to break down everything MSU football and basketball as they both get ready to take on opponents. Football taking on Rutgers as well as basketball taking on UCLA. But again, we'll break that down a little bit later on in the show. Ryan Cole, WDBM and Spartan Sports Network. Ryan Cole will be in to discuss that matchup as well as preview the rest of the Las Vegas Invitational and talk a little bit more about college hoops as we did see Duke again win and that super team continue to roll. But as the show always starts, we'll just get right into it. The current sports quick hit headliners. And we're going to start out with what was breaking news almost as soon as we got off the airwaves yesterday. And again, this was almost, we could almost broke this on the show. But again, more news out of the Larry Nassar case. After yesterday's show, like I said, former MSU president Luanna K. Simon has been charged with two felony counts and two misdemeanor counts of lying to police in the Larry Nassar investigation. The Lansing State Journal is reporting, again, Matt Mancarini is one of the best to follow with anything involving this investigation. He's reporting that Simon attended a meeting in May 2014 in which the Title IX sexual assault investigation of Larry Nassar was discussed, according to court records. The meeting included President Simon, Willette Granberry Russell, who at the time was the head of MSU's Title IX office, and a senior advisor to Simon, according to affidavit filed in support of charges. And again, this is all going back to Luanna K. Simon, the former MSU president, saying she did not have direct knowledge of this case. And again, this has been going on, this investigation, I should say, and she has been charged. I believe a warrant has been put out for her. And I again, if we get any news within the hour before the end of the show, we will bring that to you. But again, follow on WKR.org and all of the wonderful journalists around here as well that brought all of the news of this case to you as well. Moving to the hardwood, Malik Hall has signed his national letter of intent to join the Michigan State men's basketball team next year out of Aurora, Illinois, in the Sunshine Academy, same academy that brought Tum Tum Nairn to Michigan State. And his numbers speak for themselves. Through seven games this season in his postgrad year at Sunrise, Hall is averaging 19 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists while shooting 49% from the floor, 44% from three. He's ranked 52nd in the country for the 2019 class by 247. And head coach Tom Izzo says, quote, "He's a versatile guy who can handle the ball, can shoot the three, and be on the block. We think because of all the different things he can do, Malik is going to be a dynamite part of our future. And he's a guy, if you can find some of his high school tape, he can really score the ball. And that's something that this MSU offense is going to be looking for again going into these next coming years. More recruiting news. As far as MSU basketball is concerned, five-star guard Anthony Edwards, again, this was breaking news almost as we started the show yesterday, but we didn't really have time to get into it. He's reclassifying from the 2020 class to 2019. 6'5" recruit, has Michigan State on his list of schools. Quote, "I don't have any official dates yet, but I know for sure I'm going to set up a visit for Florida State and Michigan State. I haven't decided about the other three." And additionally, Vernon Carey, the five-star center, has said he will announce his top three schools at some point this week. He said that, I believe, on Monday. The week's winding down, so, again, we will find out that news sooner rather than later. And, again, going to the college football rankings, which we touched on yesterday, the fourth week was officially released last night with the top six teams remaining the same. But from 6 to 10 in those rankings is where the chair of the selection committee, Rob Mullins, had to answer some questions from ESPN's Reese Davis. When asked why and how Oklahoma remained at number 6 with Washington State having the same record and a better all-around team, at least last week, this was his answer.
5 minutes and just go for his feet, and it's something about him or something about whatever, you know, so it...
And that was a quick bite of Rocky Lombardi's interview last night at the practice. Again, Rob Mullins, the chair of the selection committee, had to answer questions. And again, he was very contradictory. If we have that bite, again, this was his answer on why Oklahoma stayed at 6 with Washington State.
We spent considerable time talking about 6, 7, and 8. Obviously, saw what Washington State did, putting up 55 points in the first half against Arizona. But, you know, again, looked at Oklahoma and that dynamic offense. And while their defense may still be struggling, the offense is carrying the day and still finding a way to win with the quarterback being so dynamic.
So a few key things there. He said the defense is struggling. The offense is continuing to carry them to wins. A dynamic quarterback. So ESPN's Reese Davis again asked why that was not the same case for a similar team in Ohio State, who dropped down to 10, being jumped by UCF to number 9 in the rankings, and this was his answer.
You know, no, we don't really talk about certain categories or labels in the room. We talk about resumes. And we watched UCF have a strong performance against Cincinnati. Their offense continued to be consistent. Saw some improvement in their defense. And then when you watched Ohio State, you saw a team that struggled a bit at Maryland. And in the end, again, the committee felt that UCF was the more complete team at this time and moved them up to number 9.
So, again, very contradictory, and if you watched that about 3.5-minute interview with Reese Davis and Rob Mullins, you just kind of sat there and scratched your head, because this is the chair of the selection committee that's going to eventually decide who will be in the college football playoff, and if that's his best answer, I'm not sure you're exactly very confident in how these rankings will turn out. And again, we can break that down a little bit once it gets closer. Again, just one more regular season week. It is rivalry week in college football. And it's not exactly a rivalry for Michigan State, but this has been their final game for the past couple of seasons. And they will take on Rutgers again at Spartan Stadium, 4 p.m. on Fox. Again, I talked to Michigan State head coach Mark D'Antoni as well as the players last night after their practice. And it's going to be senior day. They want to win for the seniors. They want to be able to get to that 8-win mark. Again, they are bowl eligible already. Trying to get that 7th win in the regular season. They'll take on Rutgers at 4 p.m. at Spartan Stadium. Mark D'Antonio somewhat begged for fans to come out so they can get 50,000 fans for a spring game. But I'm not expecting that number come this Saturday. MSU basketball will travel to Vegas again for the Las Vegas Invitational. We'll have Ryan Cole on again in just a few minutes to talk about that second round matchup. With number 17 UCLA and some of their big freshmen in that game. And I won't dive too far into it because I know Ryan will have his hot takes for that. And lastly, again, if you guys really want to talk about this game, I don't want to dive too far into it, but if you really want to talk about it, I can break down Lions, Bears, and they'll be tomorrow on Thanksgiving, both teams on a short week. The Bears, Mitchell Trubisky, as I mentioned yesterday, the Bears are optimistic he will play. The Lions also dealing with a list of injuries, but it remains to be seen who will be available tomorrow. Again, if you just want to enjoy your Thanksgiving, I might advise just not watching that game. But if you do really want to watch football, go for it again. The Lions take on the Bears tomorrow on their annual Thanksgiving Day game. And those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, Ryan Cole coming up in just a few minutes to talk about MSU UCLA. Again, call in 517-355-9527 if you want to join the conversation. But that wraps up the quick hit headliners. And one of the things I left out of the current sports quick hit headliners is something that for some reason I know golf isn't a huge sport, but for some reason people are just not grasping onto this idea, and of course that is the match, as it's been coined, Tiger versus Phil, Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson, two of the all-time greats in the sport of golf. And Tiger Woods again coming on this past year, this past PGA season, and looking like he might be as close to back to form as he possibly can be. And again, that match is going to be all for charity, $9 million on the line. And one of the interesting things about this, again, there's a lot of stuff that you can talk about this, but of course people aren't hugely interested. They're going to be mic'd up for the entire match as well as their caddy, so you'll be able to hear their strategy throughout 18 holes and playing the course. It will be match play. So if you're not a golf expert, that basically means it's going to be hole by hole. Whoever has a better score will win that hole. And then whoever has the higher score by a certain point. So if, say Phil Mickelson goes up five holes, there's four holes left. He's going to win the match, but that's the basic premise of match play. And then besides being mic'd up, the other thing is there will be side bets. And for those of you that don't know, when PGA players are just kind of playing a practice round of golf or just playing around with their friends, they bet a lot of money on anything, on a 10-foot putt, on a drive they think someone might hit out of bounds. And that's basically what you're going to see. Again, this is pay-per-view, so it's going to be interesting to see the numbers on this. I didn't have this in the headliners, but I did have a bite of their press conference they had yesterday. This is about a minute and a half of audio that Tiger and Phil, they were asked about the strategy of the course and the side bets and how that's going to play a role in this match. And again, this is all the time I'm going to spend on it. If you want to talk more about it, I will, because if you don't know me, I do love golf about as much as anyone. But this is the audio again from Phil and Tiger, the press conference yesterday for the match.
So I've thought a lot about this, and there are spots out on the course that are some great spots for a little challenge. And the challenges are coming directly out of our pockets, okay? And I feel like the first hole is a great hole for me. And I believe, in fact, I'm willing to risk $100,000 that says I birdie the first hole. So that's how good I feel heading into this match. You don't have to take it. You don't have to take it at all. But hold I'm going to throw that
off,
out
hold
there.
Hold on, hold on. So you think you can make birdie on the first hole?
I know I'm going to make birdie on the first hole.
Double it. Oh.
Did you see how I baited him like that? Yes. Yes. 200 says I birdie the first hole.
All right, just water down the left. He likes to lose his golf ball to the left. It's a little flare out that he hits.
See, here's what you're missing.
See, these are.
I'm going to hit a 2-iron.
He hasn't really thought
in
about.
The fairway, and I'm a great short iron player. In fact, one of the best. Number one
if
on
hits
the tour.
His 2-iron
stat,
hot, you like which he sometimes does. It's a little right. It's hot. It'll be up against that tree, and he's blocked out, and so he can't spin the ball coming into that flag. Yeah.
And that's how I was able to bait you. Yeah, first hole.
So that's official.
I birdie.
Done.
200,000 first hole birdie.
And there you have it. I know some people that wouldn't bet $2 for a first hole par. And Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods already have $200,000 of their own money on the line for Phil Mickelson to birdie or not birdie the first hole. And again, they're playing out in Las Vegas, and that's where the MSU basketball team is going to be. How about that transition, Ryan Cole joining me in studio?
What a segue.
And again, Ryan Cole of Spartan Sports Network, WDBM, MSU's student radio station. A man of many titles.
Oh, thanks.
I kind of gave Julian Mitchell, again, the basketball expert quote-unquote title, I guess I'll have to give the same thing to you again as we get ready to preview MSU, UCLA. And before we get into it again, Spartan Red Zone is already on the airwaves. Julian said you guys were recording Impact Izone on Impact's website. Is that available to people?
That is, of course. We just did Season 6, Episode 5 of the Impact Izone podcast, your home for Michigan State basketball news. It's been the best part of being on campus, like the most fun that I've had in the last 4 or 5 years, you know, has been on that show. So we always bring a good show, entertaining, and it was a lot of fun this week.
And that's episode 5 already on the early season. So make sure to tune into that on their website, impact89fm.org/sports, and they'll have everything MSU hoops that you could ever want. Again, Julian Mitchell, Amanda Poole, also on that podcast. You listened and heard from Julian on Monday, breaking down the Tennessee Tech win 101-33. And again, I believe you guys touched on the three-game stretch that's heading into the six-game stretch and the Las Vegas Invitational. UCLA is going to be the first one up on that six-game stretch. Moses Brown, again, is kind of the guy that you have to point to, and that's the guy that Tom Izzo talked about, I mean, brought up at his practice presser, I should say, and 7'1", 245. He's a mismatch because he's quicker than the average center, but he's bigger than the average four. So again, when you look at MSU's lineup, who do you see matching up against Brown, and where could they take advantage maybe of him on the defensive end as well?
Well, it's interesting because you look at the starting lineup for UCLA, and they start three guys over 6'8". So it's not just the fact that they have Moses Brown at 7'1", which is obviously something Michigan State just doesn't have on their roster, but when you consider how three guys in that starting lineup are taller than any of Michigan State starters, Nick Ward's the tallest starter on the Spartans team at 6'8". So where do you put him? I mean, he's a guy that he can't really go outside as much, whereas if there's a inside-outside threat, they're much more comfortable, I think, putting Kenny Goins out there. I know Spartan fans may not be as comfortable as I think Tom Izzo is putting Kenny Goins out there, but I mean, you got to respect the way that Kenny Goins has been playing basketball so far this year. Was averaging double-digit rebounds going into that Tennessee Tech game. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch. And I mean, we talked on the show just about how big a dichotomy it is reviewing the last three games, which are really the cupcake games, really, to then the next six. You know, high major opponents for the next six games for Michigan State. Tom Izzo mentioned it being one of the toughest stretches of his career. Now, he's had plenty of tough stretches. I know. That's where I was thinking, really, man? I mean,
he's got to sell it to his players like that.
Absolutely. And you have to prepare as if it's the toughest in his 24-year career. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the thing is UCLA, and I think they match up decently well with UCLA, and UCLA has not played a team like a Kansas that Michigan State played, or even Gonzaga in that scrimmage. Mm-hmm. So I think Michigan State's more battle-tested and ready for this game, and not beating up on Presbyterian and St. Francis. Well, they did beat up on Tennessee Tech, but you know, I think Michigan State's more ready for this kind of high-caliber matchup than UCLA.
And again, that'll be tomorrow night. After 10 p.m. Yes. Eastern time, and they're going to have less than a 24-hour turnaround. They'll either face, again, win or loss, they'll face North Carolina or Texas. Mm-hmm. And regardless, that's going to be another tough game for whoever they have to face.
I mean, we saw North Carolina in the Thanksgiving weekend tournament last year, the BK-80. Well, you know, going into that game, Tom Izzo was winless against Roy Williams. Mm-hmm. And then he go and just smother UNC in that one. And they could match up again with them back-to-back years on Thanksgiving. So I think that'd be really exciting. North Carolina, top 10 team. We all know them. We've all seen them just contend there in the ACC and everything. But don't sleep on Texas either. You know, that's a program that has been there, done that. Mm-hmm. And while they're still figuring out how to replace a guy like Mo Bamba, who is just an incredible talent, I still think, you know, Michigan State will gain a lot out of this tournament and traveling too, because the only other trip that they've done was to Indianapolis. You know, they've played at Indianapolis and then three straight home games. So to go out there on the West Coast, Las Vegas, and have to prepare and everything like that, There's going to be a lot of lessons learned this weekend for Michigan State.
And as you mentioned, Mo Bamba gone from Texas. That's kind of the main storyline, but they still have a lot of returning players from that original core that they had a solid season on last year. They weren't great, but they were very competitive, especially in the Big 12. And obviously North Carolina, the freshman Nasir Little. And then again, you know,
I don't know what year he's in. Oh yeah.
But he's still, he's such a consistent player.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know who they're going to be playing. But as you said, it's going to be battle tested regardless when they come out of it. I don't want to jinx anything for those of you Spartan fans out there, but I think they do slide past UCLA. Mm-hmm. And I do think North Carolina is able to handle Texas. And that, I think that's another fascinating matchup.
Oh, yeah.
I still don't know what to expect from this Michigan State team just because of how the roster is constructed.
Mm-hmm.
And when you match up against, even a UCLA with some bigger guys, how is Tom Izzo going to try to combat that? Is he going to try to go big as well and match it, or is he going to go small and run like this team can?
Because it's all about matchups.
Yeah.
It really is. And I know that I just said that, of course, but I still will say I think my reasoning for – I guess my confidence, if that's maybe that's the word, my belief that Michigan State will come out of this, I believe, winning the tournament. First off, I predicted they would at the beginning of the season, so I got to stick with it. But I actually think Michigan State, when I look at this team and I look at the roster, I think they've played phenomenally the last three games for the most part, especially on defense against Tennessee Tech. I think that was the part where they stood out the most. But there's still a lot that they can do better. So I'm kind of banking on one or two of those things. I mean, we've seen Nick Ward. I mean, he went 10 for 12 against Tennessee Tech,
mm-hmm.
but he still hasn't shown us that inside-outside game that he said he worked on in the offseason. We've seen Cassius Winston go off for a little stretch, but he's still not shooting the three as well as he could in that 40 to 45% range, I think, as a floor. You know, he's still not even at 40% this year. Matt McQuaid, another guy that he's played a lot of minutes because he's great on defense, but he hasn't had that 15 to 20 point knockdown threes kind of game that I think he still has in him.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just three areas that I think I'm kind of banking on one or two of those breaking out this weekend. And so that's why I have kind of a belief that Michigan State will come out of this on top, is because there's still so much that we haven't seen from this team that I think that they have inside them.
And you mentioned the inside-outside game for Nick Ward. I mean, really, almost every player on the team can make a three.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as high as a rate as fans would like. But I don't know if I mentioned this on Monday's Current Sports, yesterday's Current Sports, because men's basketball practice was after the show on Monday, but Xavier Tillman, the freshman, they shoot the threes after practice and after interviews.
Mm-hmm.
They just go around the world and see how many threes they can make. When I turned around, because I heard the freshmen kind of, cheering on each other, chirping each other a little bit. When I turned around, so there was already threes made from this player. I want you to guess which freshman this was, but I saw 13 threes made in a row.
In a row. Gabe Brown.
Xavier Tillman.
I was so excited because
the underclassman. I'm sorry to all the listeners. I really ruined that.
But no,
Xavier Tillman, I saw 13 threes made, and there was at least one or two more before I turned around.
Mm-hmm.
I know Tom Izzo is stuck in his ways,
if you know.
Good or bad. He wants it done how he wants it done. Is there going to be a time where you see a Nick Ward or Xavier Tillman put up multiple threes a game?
I think so. I think it takes time. You know, we talk about Tom Izzo being kind of stuck in his ways, mm-hmm. right? And I'm sure he says after seeing the way they worked on it in the offseason, and they did. They both did. I think Xavier Tillman can be that guy that can put up three or four threes a game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to take some time to get there for both Xavier to get that confidence and for Tom Izzo to get that confidence, kind of allowing him to do that. Because,
yeah.
I mean, but I think Tillman's that guy. And Michigan State kind of needs that too, because I think Ward still down in the post is one of the most fascinating players in college basketball because he's old school, back to the basket, hook shot, and in.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see that too much anymore. And Tom Izzo's system kind of needs that too, as well. I mean, it's kind of designed to have that.
And again, that's what I kind of go back to is how long before an evolution, an innovation is needed. I mean, I know this is a different team because of the roster, because Nick Ward is maybe the best player. I mean, you can go back and forth on that. I don't know if he is, but so far he's been, you know, the primary scorer. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the offense is necessarily going to run through him, but he's going to be the primary scorer until someone steps up otherwise. Do you see an issue with that? I know I talked to Julian Mitchell, and again, he has his questions with Nick Ward. Mm-hmm. Can he, you know, face up and make a mid-ranger? Can he step out and make a three? There's been times, again, especially last season, where the motions got to him. Just talking to him, he seems like a different person going through, you know, kind of the draft evaluation mm-hmm. process. Seems like a different person, a different player.
Right.
Are there questions that you kind of have about Nick Ward that you would like to see answered, you know, in the six-game stretch?
When you talk about the face-up shot and everything, I think that's certainly one of them. And I kind of wonder if, okay, Florida Gulf Coast and Tennessee Tech, he figured, well, I can just go back to, you know, my old school ways, my back-to-the-basket post-up game, and I'll get my 20 points. That's fine. And it worked, right? But against these teams, against a Moses Brown, 7-1, and then Jalen Hill at 6'10", and, I mean, against those taller kind of guys and just flat-out better athletes, he's going to have to diversify his game. And so, and I'm sure he wants to do that a little bit, too, to show off to some NBA scouts.
Of course, yeah.
Because Nick Ward, we've seen it. This is not, you know, unknown to Spartan fans or college basketball fans. He wants to get to the NBA. And if you want to get to the NBA, you have to have a diversified game. And I think this is a big weekend and a big six-game stretch to really show that. National stage, you know, national television against some of these top 20 teams. I mean, Michigan State, if they beat UCLA and play against UNC, that's the number 17 team in the country and then a top 10 UNC. So you want, I think Michigan State kind of wants to see him diversify his game in these big kind of games, and I think Nick Ward wants to as well.
And again, just going back to the Las Vegas Invitational, they'll play 10 p.m. tomorrow night, Eastern time, and then 4 or 6 Friday?
I would guess 3 and 6.
I think it's 3 and 6.
Friday afternoon. Get in that shopping in the morning.
If you really want to.
If you're into that.
But my point is still, is if you want to see you know, good guard play as well, I think this is going to be, if they are able to win the tournament, this would be as much of a statement game or stretch of games for Cassius Winston as it would be a statement win for MSU basketball, because you look at the guards he's going to have mm-hmm. to face. I'm not sure if they'll put him defensively on Nasir Little or Jalen Hands, but those are both guys that can score pretty easily.
But think about it. You know, last year, Thanksgiving, they go out to the PK-80 tournament out in Oregon, and they win the thing. And then they come home and beat Notre Dame, just smoke them in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. And everybody was Cassius Winston, Player of the Year. Michigan State's running away with it, national champs. I mean, it was a foregone conclusion then. I mean, that weekend did so much. And if they went in and lost those games, you're talking about a completely different kind of perspective. Now, of course, we know how that season ended, and Michigan State really peaked kind of in that moment at early December. So, of course, it's important for Michigan State now to carry whatever they learn from this stretch forward. And there's a lot of big games and everything, and you can't sleep on any one of them. But, I mean, it's a very important stretch for Michigan State and just their overall psyche, you know, and I, like I said, just think back to last year and how they came out of that Thanksgiving tournament and we thought the world of that Spartan team.
Yeah, and again, the six-game stretch that Tom Izzo continues to reference, again, UCLA in Vegas and then the winner or loser of North Carolina, Texas. Then they go to Louisville, go to Rutgers, which is a competitive team, not quite on the same level nationally, but it is a competitive team, as we've seen.
It's a road game.
And it's a road game. Mm-hmm. Then come back home, face Iowa, who's top 25 ranked now. And again, if they solve their defensive issues,
look out.
That's a team that's, again, top 20 in the country. And then they go to Gainesville and face the Gators before kind of that winter stretch there over Christmas break. So, again, I think it's going to say a lot about this team. I don't know if it's quite the toughest schedule, six-game schedule that Thomas has ever had, but I think it will show some issues or it will show some strengths or both of this Michigan State
very
team.
Very important to, I mean, look, win or lose, like I said, you're going to learn a lot about this team in the next six games.
And again, last night we saw some great college basketball as well. Duke winning and Gonzaga winning after a little bit of an early scare. And they're both going to be playing tonight, 1-3, an early top three matchup.
In college basketball, in Maui. In the little gym out there. I mean, that's
a great environment.
That's college basketball at its best.
But I guess, again, I don't want to jump too far, you know, into March. But is anyone going to take down Duke?
That's the question to me, you know. I mean,
I thought they would be good. I didn't know they would be this good.
Oh, they look phenomenal. That's the thing. And the thing is, I mean, we're all sleeping on Kansas now because Kansas goes out, beats a top 10 Michigan State team, and then 2 hours later, the talk of the country is Duke. And from that point on, Duke has been at the center of everyone's mind. So don't sleep on Kansas, of course, at that number two spot. But I just don't see it happening, you know. And I think Duke will lose a couple games because it's the ACC. And so I'll get my little rant out about, you know, first take after that game going all 40-0. They're better than the Fab Five. They're all this.
They're good. They're very good.
They're very good, but they're going to lose a couple games in the ACC.
They're four freshmen.
That's just, they're four freshmen. It happens. We've seen that. You know, you remember, what, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, Kentucky, they talk about going 40-0 with those freshmen. I mean, it seems like every other year Kentucky talks about that. But, no, I still think Duke is the class of the country, but, I mean, if they lose a couple games, that's just because it's college basketball, you know? So we'll get a lot out of this Duke-Gonzaga game, though.
Yeah.
That's going to be exciting,
and if you watched Gonzaga last night, you saw, I mean, coming back down, you know, 15 minutes left in that game, you saw, you know, what Michigan State had to face in that scrimmage. And again, looking a little bit more broadly before we get you out of here, Ryan, I don't want to jump too far, but I want to get kind of your view of the Big Ten this season. I put my kind of tiers out of basketball, of Big Ten basketball on Twitter. Is there any teams? I know Wisconsin's getting some love. Ethan Happ, again, is kind of the center of that team, literally the center of that team.
Yes, he is.
And then there's still, I mean, I think there's 5 to 6 borderline 7 teams that, I mean, by the end of the season could be ranked.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I thought this coming into the season. Now, last year they have 4 teams go to the NCAA tournament, which was ridiculous, first of all. I think, you know, too many people kind of were down on the Big Ten just because Michigan State and Purdue were so good last year, at least in the regular season. And I saw a lot of signs of promise coming into the season, and I think now the nation's starting to pick up on those. We talk about Iowa as one of those teams. I didn't really see Iowa making this kind of jump. I did see Wisconsin, though. Wisconsin, if Ethan Happ is there, I think that they're phenomenal, really. And we saw it towards the end of last season, Brad Davison starts to show up. They give Michigan State back-to-back scares out at Madison and in the Big Ten tournament. And I think those were the signs to me, hey, Wisconsin's going to be right there. Now, I still think that the conference comes down to Michigan, Michigan State, which me as a Michigander, I know for you as well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the rivalries that everyone knows about it in football, but college basketball, the Michigan, Michigan State rivalry is no slouch either. So I'm excited to see those two games, of course, February 24th and March 9th. I mean, we have to wait 3 more months for that. That's ridiculous. But it's going to come down to that. And it very well may come down to senior night at the Breslin Center on March 9th, Michigan, Michigan State.
And
at least I want it to. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I want it to.
The drama would be something. And you look parallel Michigan, Ohio State, the last game of the regular season in football. That would be about as good as you can get as far as Big Ten basketball goes to close out the season for a game that's going to mean something.
And so far, Michigan has, they've already leapt Michigan State in the polls.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not trying to just discount Michigan, but that win over Villanova, as good as they looked, all of a sudden what happens? Villanova loses to Furman.
Yeah, it's a tough loss.
And it's a tough loss. Okay, where are the excuses for that one?
I mean, it's not going to end up being such a... I mean, I think Villanova is going to bounce back. I think they're still a decent team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're top 10, but it's going to end up being a not quite... I mean, they're going to hope it's a quality one
right.
for their resume, but I still think there was enough that you saw in there that you said, wow.
Oh,
This team can play.
Oh, yeah, and, don't sleep on Michigan.
I know you do your Friday 5-1.
Always.
I don't want to plug, you know, too much for you mm-hmm. here because this is WKR's Current Sports.
Oh, please do.
Do you have your 5-1 that you could give to the people?
Well, it's Wednesday, so no.
Oh, I see. This whole week, I've just been completely thrown off. The gray skies. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, we're going into the weekend basically here, so it's sort of like a Friday.
I'm assuming you'll be on the field for Spartan Sports Network for Saturday.
Will. Along with 5 of my closest friends, yes, I will.
The stadium's going to be packed.
It will be packed.
27-point favorite as of now. I don't think they cover. Over-under 37. I think this could be like a 10-0 game.
Right.
You don't have to give your score prediction, but do you think they cover?
I think it's tough to pick Michigan State to cover in any game now. So, especially 27.5.
Fair enough.
Rutgers is not good by any means, but that's a lot of points.
A lot of points.
And again, for Michigan State's offense.
And Spartan Red Zone will have you covered on impact89fm.org/sports. Impact is on for MSU basketball talk. And again, Impact, first calendar year doing live broadcasts of Michigan State sports. I know Julian said it would kind of be here and there, not completely everything, but there will be some more games coming up, and you can find those games on 88.9 FM.
Absolutely. And it's been very exciting, and I have to thank you, Zach, for everything you've done as the play-by-play coordinator and everything, and really kind of getting us off the ground floor with that. It's been an exciting semester at Impact, and a lot of great students that are putting in some hard work, you know, really, really excited to see the future of it beyond when I graduate in a month, man.
Time flies.
Oh, yeah.
It's Friday, but it's actually Wednesday. Xavier Tillman is not a freshman. He's a sophomore.
No,
It's been a long week already.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you have safe travels and a happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Zach.
Enjoy the family time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, get a nap in before that Michigan State game tomorrow.
And try to be able to be happy despite the Lions game.
I don't even know if I'll watch. Okay, I'll watch, but like...
That never happens on Thanksgiving.
No.
Never.
Never.
Yeah. Never.
But sincerely, I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for coming on.
Same to you, Zach.
WDBM and Spartan Sports Network's Ryan Cole. We're going to hit our first break here. We'll be back, talk a little bit of Michigan State football, as well as a little bit more of my own picks for this week in sports. Throwback. Shout out to our engineers so far this week on WKR's Current Sports. Again, this is my last day as a fill-in host for Al Martin as he soaks up the sun rays down in Florida with the family. And again, all of you that are traveling for the holidays, hope you have safe travels and a happy Thanksgiving. But not to bring you down too much, I do want to just touch on it and close up the conversation of Michigan State football. Again, I talked to Mark D'Antonio and some select players from the Michigan State football team yesterday after their practice, you know, heading into Rutgers this Saturday. And two of the biggest quotes from Mark D'Antonio, one I think he's kind of being blown out of proportion, and that is the comment he had on crowd size and wanting to have a full crowd for the seniors. I don't think it's going to happen, and I don't want to say it's a joke, but it's tough to ask that when your team's 6-5 and struggling to put up double digits against Nebraska and struggling against Maryland, and with all the injuries, I'm not going to say it's completely unreasonable, but it just seems like a little bit much for Mark D'Antonio. Another one that I took out of it was his comment on social media, said it's affected the quarterback situation with Brian Lewerke and Rocky Lombardi. And talking to Rocky Lombardi yesterday, he did mention it just a little bit, was asked a few questions. I do have the soundbite on that. And it was interesting because it made it sound like social media was only affecting Brian Lewerke. And if you saw some of his comments on his Instagram post, post their loss to Michigan, it's just you just continue to shake your heads at fans, why they're treating players, especially college players, just like they're you know, inanimate objects. And Brian Lewerke, again, Mark D'Antonio, before I get to the bite, could have avoided this entire situation if he had just started Rocky Lombardi instead of an injured Brian Lewerke against Michigan. But that's all in the past, and now Mark D'Antonio does have to live with that. But as I said, I do have the audio of Rocky Lombardi on social media, and I thought it was interesting because he was pretty open about it, again, after practice ahead of Rutgers.
On Twitter for 5 minutes and just scroll through his feed, and it's something about him or something about whatever, you know, so it's difficult, and I wish he didn't have to go on Twitter for 5 minutes and just scroll through his feed, and it's something about him or something about whatever, you know, so it's difficult, and I wish he didn't have to go through it, but it's just kind of how today's world works.
What about Coach Warner? Yeah, he's been taking a lot of heat the last couple of weeks, too.
Yeah.
How have you seen him, and how have you, I guess, perceived some of that?
Yeah. No, I mean, he does take a lot of heat, and it's tough, but I think he especially does a really good job of keeping everybody positive and keeping positive energy, and sometimes it can eat away at your confidence, but I think he does a good job of keeping our confidence in him and keeping confidence in himself.
Does anyone advise you guys to stay away from Twitter and to stay away from people out there? Is it hard to do?
I mean,
I stay away from it. It's not hard for me to do, but I didn't grow up with it. I tweet out, but I don't read what comes in. Right?
Yeah, no, I mean, everybody tells you to stay away from it, you know, because you don't know what's out there. Sometimes you do know what's out there, but it's hard because, you know, you're just sitting around and you're on your phone, especially kids nowadays. I mean, what do? You go on Twitter, you go on Instagram, and then, you know, you're scrolling through your feed or you're going through your direct messages, whatever. I mean, it's all over. So it's hard to stay away from, even if you just go on it for 5 minutes, you know, if something's going to pop up.
And that was Rocky Lombardi again, redshirt freshman quarterback for the Michigan State Spartans. I fully expect him to start, but again, he was asked yesterday if he knew he was going to be starting, and he did not say that he knew, and he just said he was going to prepare like he would be starting, but did not have an answer. And it's, again, with the context of everything, that just seems kind of completely ridiculous to me at this point. I don't know how you even consider starting Brian Lewerke or even give the people or the media a thought that Rocky Lombardi would not be starting Saturday. I know he struggled last week. He's staring down receivers, didn't really make the right reads pre-snap, but that's something that a young quarterback, redshirt freshman, is going to have to learn how to do once Brian Lewerke's gone. And what better way to kind of work on that than against Rutgers? And I just wanted to kind of wrap up that conversation about MSU and their offense. I read off the stats about points per game, offensively, defensively, and how 8 of the last 10 games Michigan State's offense has scored at or below the average points given up by the opposing defense, and has only done the opposite of that twice in their entire 11 games for defense, giving up more than their average. And again, a couple of those touchdowns were on special teams and fortunate field position because of turnovers. So again, when the season's said and done, the losses, I have to say, are on the offense and the offensive staff. I don't know if anything's going to be changed. I don't think anything will be changed. Jim Bowman, again, the co-offensive coordinator, the tight ends coach, Dave Warner, the running backs coach, as well as the co-offensive coordinator, Mark State, and the offensive line coach, assistant head coach, and recruiting coordinator. All three have been questioned. I think the offensive line has picked up throughout the season. Obviously, injuries and getting healthy help with that. But when you look at tight ends, running backs are two of the more struggling and least productive positions on this team, and play calling as well. Alec Rio behind the glass. I haven't gotten your comments on this a lot, as we have had so many guests, but I just want to get your thoughts on Michigan State football and the offensive side of the ball.
You really can't mess up a quarterback situation more than Michigan State has. And it's just them constantly going back and forth with starting them. It messes both of their confidence. You know, like Rocky Lombardi, I remember when I was interviewing him right after the Ohio State game, he did not seem confident at all. And you would interview Brian Lewerke after his games, and you could just tell in his voice and just like his mannerisms while you're interviewing him that something wasn't right. You could just tell that the confidence was shot.
And that's what I said. And for the fans saying, don't protect the players, they should have all of the burden on them as well. I just don't think that's fair, because especially looking at Michigan, when Brian Lewerke starts that game, he ends up getting pulled. It's obvious that he's hurt. You bring in Rocky Lombardi at the end of that game, just give your team basically no shot to score the ball against one of the best defenses in the country in Michigan. Rocky Lombardi just came in and looked lost. He looked like a deer in headlights. And maybe that was, at least he did get some snaps, if you want to look at it glass half full. But like Alex said, the situation has just been handled as poorly as possible. Again, calling 517-355-9527, 517-355-WKR. We'll try to get your calls in to today's show, as we have all week, and tweet at us at WKR underscore sports, or comment on the Facebook live stream, and we'll try to get your comments here on the show. And again, I just want to hear everyone's thoughts about this, because I know the fan base is mostly frustrated with this offense. And in addition to the numbers that I laid out yesterday, I had to go in. I said you probably didn't want to hear advanced statistics, so I'm just going to give you some basic numbers that kind of help describe the struggles that this offense has had throughout the season. There's 130 teams in the FBS, in Division I football. Michigan State's offense is 113th in total yards, 120th in total points, 117th in rush yards, 123rd in passing efficiency, 124th in third down conversion rate, 84th in first down offense, and 50th in red zone offense, and 62nd in turnover margin. And looking in contrast to the defense, 19th in total yards allowed, 17th in total points, first in rush yards against, 30th in passing efficiency against, 23rd in first down offense against, and 16th in third down conversion rate defensively. And you look at those disparities, and we kind of touched on this on Monday's show, how the efficiency ratings were just one of the widest margins. It's actually the second widest margin in the country for any D1 football team, between offensively and defensively, numbers-wise. You look at total yards against, 94 spots, if you will, 19th in total yards against and 113th in total yards for, 103 for total yards points, or excuse me, total points scored and total points against. And the list goes on, and I read all those numbers to you. And whether you want to hear them or not, I think it just confirms that whether or not play calling is the issue, or whether or not execution is the issue, something has to change, whether it's a new offensive idea, just a new voice in the offensive room, I think is definitely something that has to be done. And going into Rutgers just isn't good, folks. They've got one win on the season. I thought they might get to two, and if they're able to get their second win against Michigan State, I don't even know if Michigan State loses to Rutgers, I don't even know if that's going to be able to force change. But again, if you call in 517-355-9527, we'll try to get you on the show and be able to get you on the air, and we'll just discuss this. Again, I think everyone that has to watch Michigan State is frustrated at this point. So just, I'm here to help talk you through it, because it's been a rough season, 6-5, with a team that returned 19 of 22 starters. I did want to get to one more thing in the college football world before we get into picks and more NFL lighter topics. I saw the story yesterday, Alec. I don't know if you saw it, but this came from Yahoo. They kind of had the in-depth piece on it. Arkansas has suspended two football players, for what the story said was talking to two Mississippi State dance team members pregame ahead of their game last week. The Arkansas head coach came out and said that it was completely against their culture and their idea of their program going forward. And again, this is an Arkansas team that has two wins on the season. And if that culture isn't already bad enough, I'm not sure how that affects it. And again, I'm not sure at what point student athletes are allowed to be people and have personal lives. Again, the story said two Arkansas players were just talking, some say flirting, with Mississippi State dance team members. And whether it was dancing or talking or flirting or whatever it may be, at the end of the day, they're people. And that didn't affect the game at all. For them to come out and be suspended for, you know, their senior day game and help support their seniors just seems completely ridiculous to me. And it just continues to show how little power student athletes have.
Yeah, and it's also similar to, do you remember at the beginning of the season when the University of North Carolina football players, including the quarterback, was suspended for a game because they tried selling school-issued Jordans?
That's a little bit different just because that's money and that's the NCAA. This is strictly the school and the head coach saying.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. I know that, but it's just like I don't see anything because most of the athletes, they don't have time, you know, to make like extra money on the side, you know? And so like, I believe that if it's something's given to you, then you should have the ability to be able to sell it. And like I understand it's like school issued and stuff like that, but like, still, I feel like you should have the right to do that if you want.
And student athletes, again, that's the official term. If you ever cover or go to or hear a press conference involving the NCAA tournament or any conference tournament, they'll say the student athletes are now available. And again, throughout my years covering college athletics, it doesn't seem that they put the student first in student athlete, and it doesn't seem like they give the student athlete the ability to kind of be themselves. And this story, again, just if you haven't seen it, go check it out on yahoo.com. I believe it was Dan Wetzel that had the in-depth piece on that. It just continues to make no sense. And for the NCAA to step up and do something like that doesn't surprise me. This surprised me because it was the Arkansas head coach on a 2-9 team saying, players talking to dance team members from the opposing team is going to affect how they play the game. And just makes absolutely no sense to me. But that's my mini rant on that. I want to come back and take the second break of the WKH Current Sports. I want to come back, make it a little bit lighter, make my picks for this weekend, and close out this week of WKR's Current Sports. As I said, I do want to get into the picks, but before we do have a call. We have Ray from Indiana on line one. Ray, how are you doing?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Where's Big Al at?
Al is down in Florida with family enjoying the holidays. He gets a little bit of a break.
Okay. Well, I wish him happy Thanksgiving wherever he's at. Go Bucks! Go Buckeyes! Beat the Bullies!
I'm assuming you're pretty ready for that game, Michigan taking on Ohio State.
I want the Bullies to get beat.
I'd like to know. Do you have a prediction for that game? I know the spread as far as Vegas is concerned is pretty close. Do you have a prediction for this game?
I'm taking the Bucks. Hopefully, in 1 point.
One point.
I'll take a 1 point victory. Any way they can beat the Bullies, I'll be a happy, 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 happy man.
I think it's going to be a close game, and if you want a little bit more confidence for your pick, Michigan hasn't won in Columbus since November 18th, 2000.
Yeah, but you know how bad the Buckeyes have played this year.
The defense has struggled, but the offense is still there. I think it's going to be a close game.
You know that running back for Michigan?
Caron Higdon, yeah.
Bragged about them. They're winning up there.
I heard what he said. The question was a little bit leading. He was led on to kind of have that answer. And he's one of the captains. What is he supposed to say? He said he's confident in his team and his coaches.
I'm hoping it comes back to haunt him. Go Buckeyes! Beat the Bullies!
We'll see. Anything else you want to add, Ray?
No, that'll do it. Have a good Thanksgiving. God bless you.
Awesome. Thank you for the call. Ray from Indiana, as always, animated. And we always enjoy his call here on WKR's Current Sports. And all the listeners out there, we hope you do have a happy Thanksgiving. As I said, to close out the show, I just wanted to make a few picks. I do make weekly college football picks. I make kind of the 10 biggest games. I'll make picks against the spread. So far in the season, I'm 70-49-1. If you don't have a calculator near you, that's 58%. And something I'm surprised that I'm doing as well as I have. Just to give you a little bit of tease, I'll have that out on Twitter probably tomorrow. Just to give you a little bit of a tease, Alec, if you want to make your picks as well, I have kind of the five biggest games of the week, including Michigan State and the Lions to close it out. But Alec, if you want to jump in on it, I'm going to start with the first game, Oklahoma favored by 2.5, taking on West Virginia. I like the Sooners in this game. West Virginia, again, coming off the loss. Maybe it's a little bit of the up-down theory. Oklahoma needs the win more than anyone, as you heard the college football playoff chair say, that Oklahoma is still firmly at six. I think they need to prove that they are the sixth or at least the top six team in the country. And going to West Virginia, I think, is going to be a tough game, but I do like Oklahoma's offense and, you know, in a shootout. I don't know what the over-under is, but I do like the over regardless.
Yeah. Even though Baker Mayfield left last season, Kyler, he's been really good. Kyler Murray's been a really good replacement for him, and their offense is very high-powered. And I definitely think that that will be the reason why they beat West Virginia.
I think that's going to be a great game. And again,
both good quarterbacks.
The Big 12 plays absolutely no defense. So if you liked the Monday Night Football game, you'll get that on high octane in Oklahoma versus West Virginia. The second game, Kyle Turk mentioned it on Tuesday's Current Sports, the Apple Cup, Washington State favored by 3.5, taking on Washington. And again, I don't like to pick too many favorites, but Washington State only favored by 3.5. I know Washington has come on of late. I know they had the early loss to Auburn, but Washington State, I think Mike Leach is just an offensive wizard. I think they win. I think it's going to be close, just like the Michigan-Ohio State game, which we'll get to. But I do like Washington State to win by a touchdown in the Apple Cup.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that one.
Again, Mike Leach, just offensive wizard. He might actually be a wizard with some of the stuff he says because he makes absolutely no sense. I don't know if he's a normal human being. Number three for the five picks that I'm going to give you here, Michigan favored by 3.5, taking on Ohio State in Columbus. Like I said, the last win coming in 2000 for Michigan. I like Michigan here. I know that's kind of the popular pick, only 3.5 points, but I do like them to win and cover.
It's going to be a battle because nonetheless, it's rivalry. Michigan's defense against Ohio State's good offense. The only problem that I see like Michigan winning is Ohio State just collapsing on the defense.
And Urban Meyer, again, dealing with the health issues. No idea what's going to happen. I think Ohio State's going to come to play. We haven't seen the best from them yet, but I do like Michigan to win. Michigan State favored by 27. I don't think they cover against Rutgers, but I do think they win the game to maybe like a 20-3 scoreline. Lions, Bears, quickly. I think the Lions are going to win. It's just another win to keep them in mediocrity.
I don't know. The Bears' defense has been killing it these past 5 weeks, without a doubt. They've honestly been the best in the NFL.
We'll see if Mitchell Trubisky is able to play. They're optimistic he will. But for now, this wraps up this week's Current Sports. I'm Zachary Swesicki. Thanks to Alec Rio, Al Martin, Jack Kerwin for this week.